Well, let me invite you to open your Bibles now as we turn to God's Word to John chapter 5, as we pick up where we left off last Sunday in verses 25 through 30. If you're just joining us today, we are walking through the Gospel of John verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and 3 weeks ago we began chapter 5. If you're looking at chapter 5, there's some natural divisions of this chapter, and the first division is in the first nine verses. Jesus comes to Jerusalem, he finds a crippled man, he heals a crippled man, and he causes something of a scandal. Because in essence, he speaks resurrection to the man with that kind of authority. He speaks resurrection to a man, and the man, just at the sound of Jesus' voice, gets up. In response, verses 9 through 18, feature a key question about Jesus, and it's a question that hung in the air then, and it still hangs in the air now, and the question is, who is the man? Who is the man who speaks with such authority, who acts as though he has the right to resurrect people? And that's the question that Jesus is now in the middle of answering, and he's answering that question basically for the rest of chapter 5. Last week, we looked at the section beginning in verse 19. Jesus says, I'm the Son of God. I'm equal with God. I've been given all authority, all judgment, all life as God. And as if Jesus hadn't said enough at that point to scandalize them, he says that he will receive all honor as God. That's where we left him last week. And now we come to verses 25 through 30, which many commentators see as a theological high point of this chapter. Jesus speaks here in these verses not only about what he has come to do, and he does, but more importantly, Jesus speaks here clearly, unapologetically, about what he will come to do. So for the believer this morning, this teaching that we'll hear from Jesus is an invitation to worship. But for the non-believer, this teaching from Jesus is yet another invitation to faith. Just like in the case of the crippled man in verse 8, we're all going to hear the voice of Jesus one day. And we're all going to get up at his command. The question that this text poses to us is, will we hear his voice before it's too late? Let's follow the flow of the text together. Looking first at verse 25, Jesus tells us of an hour now here when Jesus resurrects the dead. Truly, truly, meaning what I'm about to say demands your attention. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. So yes, there's an hour coming in the future, but we're not talking about that hour until verse 28. The emphasis at the moment in verse 25 continues the emphasis from last week, which is on the hour that is now here by God's grace. Jesus came into a world that was condemned already to offer salvation already, right now, today, at this moment. Jesus came into a world that was under the curse of sin and death already to bring his resurrection already, right now. Remember what we heard last week in verse 24. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Present tense, not future. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. So Jesus is emphasizing this still. It's now, it's here, it's right now, this moment. Right now. Jesus reminds us, in case we forget it, that his purpose wasn't just to come and offer eternal life that would commence at the time of our death. Jesus came to offer eternal life that would commence at the time of our belief. Verse 25, an hour is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Whatever your moment of belief in Christ looked like, if you have put your belief in Christ, whether it was a dramatic conversion experience or not, verse 25 describes your conversion experience. You were dead, spiritually. You heard the voice of the Son of God spiritually, and because you heard him and believed, you live. You were resurrected, given eternal life right now. And it wasn't because of any life present in your dead self, but because of the life present in Jesus' self. He is the life. That's verse 26. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. Christians can often think about resurrection and eternal life in heaven as something that happens there and then in the distance. And it does happen there and then. But Jesus constantly reminds us that resurrection and eternal life is something that happens right now for every believer in Christ. You've been resurrected. You've been given eternal life. This is the tension we live in between as Christians. You've heard this phrase. If you've been around any church long enough, you'll have heard the phrase, we live in between the already and the not yet. Those are the tensions that we live in between. Eternal life someday with Christ, eternal life already with Christ. Resurrection someday physically with Christ, resurrection already spiritually with Christ. So Jesus says here to the believer, if you've heard my voice, if you've believed, whether it was in Sunday school or whether it was 30 seconds ago, you have already been given eternal life with me. And so the flip side of that is a word for the non-believer. Jesus says, if you've heard my voice and not believed, you have not yet been given eternal life with me. Jesus emphasizes here, how you respond to his voice in this life has eternal consequence. And he has the right to say this. Again, who is Jesus to say this? Who in the world does Jesus think he is to say this about himself and about me? Verse 27 answers that. The Father has given Jesus authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. The Son of Man. It's a title that's used in the Old Testament. We read about it in Daniel 7. It's a big deal that Jesus claims his title for himself, because the Son of Man, we read in Daniel 7, verse 14, is, quote, given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. So that's Jesus. They've asked, who is the man? He's the Son of Man. The promised one, the prophesied one who comes to bring about the end of all things, that all things would go under his feet. So, hear his voice and respond with belief because he's brought the hour now. Now when he resurrects the dead. And respond before it's too late, because as he tells us, there is an hour to come when Jesus resurrects the dead. Verse 28, interesting way to begin here. Do not marvel at this. Jesus is saying there's something even more amazing that's coming in the future than the amazing things that I've brought about right now. So he's saying, shift gears with me. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge. And just hold this in the back of your mind for the next 5 minutes. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me, his Father. So let me speak now as clearly and as pastorally as I can about what Jesus teaches in these verses in harmony with the rest of the Bible about what exactly is coming. And the first thing that's coming, unless Jesus returns first, and he could any day now, the first thing that's coming is our physical death. And when this happens, our bodies fall asleep. That's a common way the Bible talks about what happens to our bodies when we die. Our bodies fall asleep, but our souls do not. At the moment of our death, our souls remain conscious and aren't ever separated from the presence of God. And at that moment, the soul of the believer who had heard Jesus' voice and believed and who had been given eternal life with Christ, that soul is immediately with Christ. Our souls are absent from our bodies, since our bodies remain here on earth until the final resurrection. But since God so values the physical, the flesh, God so gives dignity to the body, the Bible seems to teach that in heaven we have temporary bodies, so we're not just disembodied souls floating around. So all of this is good news for the believer, and all of this is the wake-up call of all wake-up calls for the non-believer. Because at the moment of death, the soul of the unbeliever who had heard Jesus' voice and not believed and who had not been given eternal life with Christ, that soul is immediately cast into hell. Everything I've just described happens before Christ has returned to the earth on the last day. Verse 28 describes that day as Judgment Day. And that's when the judgment that Jesus had already decreed upon the moment of our death is displayed in ultimate finality. On Judgment Day, what happens is that the judgment that we brought upon ourselves, either by our belief in Christ or by our rejection of Christ, that judgment is decreed publicly. And, remember verse 30, justly. Verse 28, an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. So that's the moment when our souls are reunited with our resurrected bodies. The real bodies of every single person who ever lived will come out of their tombs. Jesus teaches the real, physical, literal resurrection of, quote, in the middle of verse 28, all. And I looked up the Greek for that. It really does mean all. All people will hear the voice of Jesus. And just like the crippled man in verse 8, at the sound of Jesus' command, we will all get up. Philippians 2:11 will be fulfilled in that moment. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, and we will all stand before his judgment seat. Verse 29, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Now, verse 29 is not teaching any kind of end of days salvation by works, as if when we finally stand before the judgment seat of Christ, what it all is going to rest on is how many good things you did, or how many evil things you did. This is not teaching salvation by works. This is teaching the final judgment of works. First, for the believer, good news. Maybe the best news of all. None of your sins will be remembered or recounted. Because the blood of Jesus has washed them all away. If the final judgment for the believer meant that your sins would be trotted out before all humanity, this would fly in the face of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Romans 8:1, we heard this last week. There is therefore how much condemnation? No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. How about 1 Peter 2:6? Whoever believes in Jesus will not be put to shame. Praise God. How about Micah 7:19? God will cast how much of our sin? All of our sins into the depths of the sea. I could go on, but y'all are going to get hungry eventually. The believer's sins won't be remembered, but the good things that had been prepared for us to walk in will be remembered, and will be rewarded for those good things. It's amazing. Judgment Day for the believer is a day of final reward. Not because of the good things that we managed to do in our own flesh, but because of the good things that Christ did in us by his Spirit. We aren't saved by our goodness. Track with me here. We're saved by grace through faith in Christ's goodness. And the Christ who saved us by his goodness, for our goodness and for one another's goodness, will reward us according to his goodness, which was on display through our goodness. Thank goodness. Praise God. But for the unbeliever who had not believed in Christ, Jesus says they will come out, verse 29, to the resurrection of judgment. None of their evil deeds, not a single one of them, will be covered by the blood of Jesus. And the judgment upon those sins is condemnation. For all who have ears to hear this, this is not hellfire and brimstone. This is yet again another example of the gospel of grace that provides the ultimate motivation to proclaim the gospel and the ultimate invitation to believe the gospel, because it's not too late. He is patient with you and with me, desiring that none should perish. And as of this moment, 10:49 a.m., he has not yet returned. This is the gospel of grace. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So run to Jesus. The hour is here. That's what he keeps emphasizing. It's here right now when Jesus resurrects the dead. So believe and rejoice, because the hour is coming when Jesus resurrects the dead. So believe before it's too late. Believe and receive. Receive spiritual resurrection, one day physical resurrection. Receive full assurance of eternal life, so that you have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear on the day of your death, and nothing to fear on the day of your judgment. This is the impending judgment put before every human soul by the Son of Man himself. And his judgment is not vengeful. His judgment is not spiteful. Remember verse 30. His judgment is just. And remember the gospel. His mercy is more. I'm going to sing these words later during communion. What love could remember no wrongs we have done? Omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum. Thrown in to a sea without bottom or shore, our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Amen. Listen, because of Jesus, the moment you believe in him, you are given eternal life and you are given an eternal song. And because of the blood of Jesus, because of the blood of the spotless Lamb of God, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, your song will not be, he's remembered all my sins. Your song will be, he's forgiven all my sins. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus, your word. And we thank you for what Jesus has said to us this morning. We pray, God, that you would send your Holy Spirit now to enable belief, enable resurrection, enable response to Christ. And now, Father, as we're about to sing, we pray that your Spirit would enable us to worship our beautiful Savior, the Lord of all nations, Son of God, Son of Man, glory and honor, praise, adoration, now and forevermore be his. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.